We're going to join hand in a few moments and begin to pray for the lost and pray for those loved ones in your life and those you're praying for that they come to the knowledge of Jesus. In a few moments, we're going to do that. And then there is an impartation that you're going to have to participate in. It's new to me, but I know how effective and how powerful it's going to be. What a spiritual stamp. That's a place you have never been stamped spiritually. Going to be placed on you that will have an effect upon everything you do after this nightfall. I will have to function in all four offices tonight. Apostle, prophet, pastor, and teacher. And it's all by the supply of the Spirit then, Philippians 1:19. So we'll pray, and then we'll follow the Spirit from there. Catch hand, pray for the lost, pray for one in your family you want the Lord to help. It might be in your immediate home, it might be in your extended family. You're praying that certain things you want them, some of them you want them to be with you, and only the Lord can change that. You understand? You can't change it. Don't fuss about it. Don't try to change it. Just let in these prayer times, just take care of it. Tell the Lord why you want them with you and what you want them like. Father, we just thank you right now as a family. We come together. We thank you that we're in your presence and that Jesus is in our midst. Angelical companies are in our midst. And then thank you that the Holy Spirit is passing out fruits and gifts in our midst. It's a humbling time, Lord, to be able to call on you and knowing how supreme and how great and how mighty you are, but yet you let us have the right to tap into your presence. We thank you for every person that is here and those online that around the world connected to us, that there's a divine effect that will take place in this house tonight, that each one will know that they're in a different position spiritually. They'll become more powerful, more anointed, more aware, more awake to the things of yours. We pray for those who are lost that they might come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Thank you for the 202 that have been called into the body of Christ the last 2 weeks and something. Thank you for the workers. Thank you for the laborers. Thank you that the harvest is great and the laborers are growing. And Father, as we come tonight, your word must become clear to us and we must have a receptive heart to understand. We pray for loved ones who don't know you, loved ones that need to be walking by our side. We pray for wives and husbands and children and grandchildren, and we just thank you right now. Thank you that you're touching them wherever they are. You're wrapping your arms around them. Wrap grace around them. Speak in their ear. Let them have a dream. Let them have a vision, Lord, whatever they need to have. We thank you so much. We thank you for calling the person's hand we're holding. We ask you to just bless their world and let them know that their coming to your house wasn't in vain tonight. We praise you and thank you for everything. Now, Lord, may your word be in my heart and in my mouth. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Pastor Bernard, give me a mic. Let him greet the people and tell him where you're from and just greet the people. Let them know you got your wife with you and et cetera. No, come up here. Come up here where I am. It's one of my sons in the gospel. Go ahead.
Hallelujah.
Tell them where your church is and everything and all that, you know.
My name is Pastor Bernard Jackson. I pastor in Petal, Mississippi.
The name of the church is Life Construction Church, and I'm also a graduate of Ever Increasing Word Training Center, class of 2018. Thank you, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. You call that intelligent? See, I know he trained as my son. You can't give anybody a mic, you know. Now, in this impartation, I better tell you, we have within the last, since February the 16th, there have been 202 people born again. I have to do this, and in the book of Acts, they count on them. In the book of Acts, they counted soul success. One time it was 3,000, one time it was 5,000. We're headed for that 5,000. This week we had 47, myself 4, Paula Poikin 1, Lisa Anderson 4, Geraldine Refuge 1, Colette Honor 1, Freddie Banks 1, Lynette White 4, Lawrence Ledoux 1, Latoria Richardson 1, Demetra Smith 2, Natasha Parker 1, Amanda Richard 1, Chris Guthrie 1, Barbara Delco 2, MacArthur Roger 1, Brown 1, Joyce Miller 1, Gloria Smith 1, Linda Melton 1, Tanya Truehill 1, Deborah Smith 1, Marvin Taylor 2, Ronnie Parker 2, Craig Stephen 1, Courtney Wilson 8, and Faye LaCars 1, so that's a total of 47. And I give words of encouragement to those who are working, and those of you who are not on the app. If you desire to get on the app, I know Montreal can assist you to get on the app. And always, when someone gets somebody saved, if you could, make acknowledgement, because that's going to increase your abilities. All right, so make sure to do that. I want y'all to take care of that. Now I'll take care of this private stuff at the end of the service. Right now, there's an impartation I need to make to you. Now I want you to pay close attention. I'm going to make an impartation, apostolic impartation in your life by three statements. The first statement, I want you to sit and listen until it registers, and then you stand. Everybody, it's personal. But it has to register on you. That's the way the Holy Ghost told me. You have to register. When I make the statement, I don't want you to just jump up. I want you to think about that statement. Let it register, because it's going to make an impact and an imprint on your life that spiritually you'll be different after the night. Okay? But you have to just don't jump up because I said something. Make sure you have, give it time to register on you, because it's going to change, have an effect. Going to be very simple, but it's going to have an effect on your life. And it's bespeaking a word about God. And here it is. The first one is looking at how far you have brought me from. Once that registers, I want you to stand. Once it registers how far he brought you, I want you to stand up. In spite of what's going on now, in spite of what you've been through, look at how far he brought you from. Now that will have a divine impact on your life tonight. That's a stand of appreciation. Seen some rough moment, but I'm still here. How many feel it? Think about some of the things that only you and him know. Where you brought me from. Sit down again. Pay attention to it. Don't jump until you get it. To understand what the Lord is saying to you. The next statement is stepping into where you want to bring me now. Now you stand when that register. Stepping into where you want to bring me now. I'll give you a little time to understand that this is an impartation. It's not a poem. That's the way he told me to do it. There's an element of yielding here, sometime without understanding, naturally. Stepping into where you want to bring me now. Okay, you may sit back down. I know this is different. Have one more. It's new to me too after 47 years, but I'm doing what he tell me to do. The last one, he's a street part of this impartation, apostolic impartation, that we're not just a church member. You're a kingdom of the citizen. You're a citizen, kingdom citizen. The last part is, and you're almost going to want to jump up on this one, but just take your time. Understanding nothing will be able to stop me now. Couldn't hold it much. Couldn't hold it much. Now, this being imparted in you, this is not, it's not just reading a piece of paper now. Understanding, nothing will be able to stop. That is powerful, isn't it? And that's thus saith the Lord. I mean, I was inspired by the Holy Ghost to do it this way three times at three different positions. And then he concluded, understanding nothing will be able to stop me. That is Paul. Now, prophetically, to function in the promises of God, you must prosper in your soul. But this does say the Lord. This is a prophecy. To function in the promises of God, I know y'all want to write, huh? Y'all want to write? Sit down. Great, sit down. Right. Great, sit down. Right. To function in the promises of God, you must prosper in your soul. Underline, you must prosper in your soul. By renewing your mind with the truth of the promises of God. By renewing your mind. And I'm reading it to you, but it's actually a prophecy, okay? By renewing your mind with the truth of the promises of God, filling your conscious emotion, imagination, will, and desire with hunger and thirst for spiritual fulfillment of his promises in your life on a daily basis. Your pastor, will you repeat that, please?
Yes.
It's too important to miss. Amen. To function in the promises of God, you must prosper in your soul by renewing your mind with the truth of the promises of God, filling your conscious emotion, imagination, will, and desire with hunger and thirst for supernatural fulfillment of his promise in your life on a daily basis. Natural circumstances, visible, no feeling will stop you from this moment forward. You're being trained by the Holy Spirit to walk in the realm of the promises of God every day of your life in the divine realization that they belong to you. This is so important for you to grasp in your soul, that your soul, your body can come in agreement with your spirit, knowing how to yield the total man from this day forward into the glorious fulfillment of all your life in God's way. I got to give you the last part one more time. I got to get the teaching. This is so important for you to grasp in your soul, that your soul, your body, can come in agreement with your spirit, knowing how to yield the total man from this day forward into the glorious fulfillment of all your life in God's way. My God. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13, let's look at that verse first. It seemed like the Holy Ghost switching it around on me, but that's fine. He know what he's doing. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 11, and we're using this verse as a divine format, I would say, in the spirit of divine format. And I'll tell you what we're talking about in a few minutes, a divine format of how to function in the revelation that the Lord wants us to have tonight from his word. It's a divine format. It's not taking nothing from the scripture, but there are some principles in this scripture in Hebrews 11, 13. When you're talking about the promises of God, these principles can make you more available to tap into the promises of God properly. That pretty clear?
Yes.
Yeah, there are some principles here. He's going to talk about they'll die in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 13. They died and didn't receive the promise, but they left enough evidence to us on how to function in the promise.
Amen.
Function in the promises. Write that down. Functioning in the promises. Now, while I'm here, let me tell you something. The promises of God is synonymous with truth. The promises of God is synonymous with his word. The promises of God are synonymous with faith. Why? Because they all include God's word. See, promises are, the biblical promises are promises that God has made. So do you think God used somebody else's word? He used his word. And therefore, the promise is just as effective as the scripture. The promises are just as powerful as truth.
Yes.
So if truth supposed to set me free, I have some personal statements that God has spoken to me to set me free. Look at somebody and say, I need to know how to handle this. All right, now. In Hebrews chapter 11, in that 13th verse, it gives us some st- steps and stages we need to take. These all died in faith. So let's draw from that quickly and then I'll give you the subject. In order, let me give you this because you'll be able to walk. Here's what, and it's kind of long, but here's what I need for you to grasp. My men might be able to shout it up. Stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life. Stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life. Remember, we're standing on the promises of God. Now we're stepping. Yeah, you're going to have to step into new territory. There are in the promises of God. Ooh, I love it. There are always promotion. And there are some, ooh, I like this. There are some problems you're going to have to step over. You have to know that when you're functioning in the promises of God, problems become bridges. you didn't hear that? Point by that, you hear me? Problem, you never heard that. Probably because I never heard it. Problem, actually, when a person know how to function in the promises of God, problem become bridges. So you see now, could you see how clear this is? There are some problems you've been worrying about. It was a bridge. You're supposed to cross the doggone thing, not worry about it. You're supposed to step on it by the promises of God. All right, I'll take you a little deeper. You want to go a little deeper?
Yes.
There's a place in your life where your understanding is going to get clear enough that you're going to wear promised shoes. You're going to always have the promises of God shoes on your feet. So it doesn't matter what's going on. It doesn't matter what's all around you. You got your shoes on. The Bible talks about having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What the Holy Ghost revealed to me in preparing for this message, there are promised shoes you can wear. Now, when you know how to wear these shoes, problem, circumstances, situation, everything visible, don't make no difference to you. You know where you're going and you know how you're going to get there. You know that you're not making natural steps anymore, because when you're stepping in the promises of God, they are supernatural steps you're making. So write this down and I'll finish reading. Stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life. All right, let me try to finish reading this verse because I got 2-3 more verses I got to read and then I'm going to take it to some point. Let's go back to the 13th verse. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. Well, faith, number one, and then you have to receive promises by faith. But having seen them before all, then you have to train yourself to see what God's seen. In other words, see, you receive it, it's not visible, it's on a Hebrews 11:1 connotation. Or a Hebrew 11:6 connotation. Or I believe it's just 2 Corinthians 5:7 connotation. In other words, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that did it to seek him. We walk by faith and not by sight. See, the promises of God is not based on your sight. It's not, they are not based on your feeling. They are not based on your situation. They are not based on your neighbor, and they're not based on your enemy. It doesn't matter. It's not even based on your family. Thank God. But having seen them afar off. So you look a little silly. You look a little stupid when you're happy. When everything like is going wrong. And people who are not in faith, people who are not in the spirit, can't understand you being happy in a visible mess. But yet, you listening?
Yes, sir.
You are designed to walk in mysteries and secrets.
Yes.
Everybody not going to see what you see. If everybody seen what you see about your life, if people can figure your life, how you going to come out? You don't have no life. You got to see for yourself by faith. I'm trusting God no matter how it look right now. I don't care how it look right now. I'm seeing something else. I'm telling you right here up in your night. I'm talking about what you're dealing with right now. This is not no hypothetic sermon. This is not Disney World. This is reality. This is God's word. You're God's people. So I'm talking about what you're dealing with right now. We're not talking about no later situation. We're talking about we come to face it right now. And let the promises of God deal with it and put you in another position right now. I don't know how the church got into waiting faith. I don't know how the church got into waiting faith. When the Bible defines faith, talk to me, God. See, waiting faith is improper faith. Waiting faith is not really faith. You're actually operating in a feeling. All right. Come on, let me read the 13th verse. Help me, Lord. 13th verse. And these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar, and were persuaded. And that word persuaded is very important. Persuaded of them. Holy persuasion. Divine persuasion. Holy Ghost persuasion. See? And then after the persuasion, see now, the persuasion has to come before the next statement.
Right. That's good,
Apostle. Yeah, you're not going to be able to embrace them if you're not first persuaded.
Yes.
Talk to me, somebody up in here.
Yes.
You try to embrace something you're not persuaded of. One little move, you're going to think you don't have it.
Yes.
But if you're operating from divine persuasion, a supernatural persuasion, or another realm of persuasion. It's not normal, I tell you. It's not normal when someone is stepping into the promises of God. It's not a normal life. They live in another realm. They live in a place called reception. It's already mine. I can't explain it to you because you're not seeing what I'm looking.
Yeah.
It's already done. and embrace them. So embrace, underline the word embrace, and then see you confess that they were strange. You confess that you have it. You confess it from the perspective of a birthright you have called I am. I'm going to the Hollywood. You confess them from a birthright of an identity that you have called I am. See, every revelation you receive become a reality that you already that. Because you wear on a daily basis, all of us should be wearing, and Jesus was trying to teach us something. See, Jesus, see, I'm not trying to get nowhere. I'm not trying to become nobody. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. You see that? I am come that you might have life. Jesus said, look, I'm not trying to do nothing. These people think I'm trying, but I'm going to do this. Now, suppose you cop that attitude. The people down the street think I'm trying to do something, but this done. Because I am this. God identity in you is an I am identity. I don't want to get stuck here, but this is a good place to get stuck. See, promises wears an I am connotation. Because Isaiah 55:11. Look at Isaiah 55:11. Look at Isaiah 55:11. Y'all done pulled me off my lip. Isaiah 55:11. See, promises are wrapped in God's word. Promises are wrapped in truth. Promises are wrapped in grace. Promises are wrapped in faith. Promises are wrapped in the Holy Ghost. Promises are wrapped in all the gifts of the Spirit. Promises are wrapped in all the fruit of the Spirit. Promises are wrapped in I am-ness of God. If that's so, no promise can come to me void. They will prosper. Yes, sir. All the promises are prospering in my life. Say it.
All the promises are prospering in my life.
Because God said so.
Because God said so.
Now, there's a promises partnership anointing that the Lord won't release on you tonight. A promises partnership anointing. Let's just skip a minute. Go to Romans 4. Look at verse 20 and 21. And let's put this promise partnership anointing on up in here tonight. Matter of fact, I better take you two or three places here. Go to Romans 4. Go to Romans 4, because the Lord then brought up this promises partnership anointed. Most of the promises cannot happen without partnership. They don't see, because if faith and grace are not brought on the scene, the promises can't manifest. But you and I are carriers of faith and grace. So that means we have access and we are activators. Access, and I'm an activator because I'm a partner, because I have the I am nature. So many times in my life, I am a rim skipper. Oh. Amen. I skipped the natural realm and functioned from another realm where miracles, signs, and wonders birthed things for me that normally couldn't happen for a normal person. That's what a miracle, signs, and wonders are in our partnership, in our I am-ness, in the promises of God. Not being a church member, not taking communion, all is right within themselves. But it's an intimacy. It's for lack of a better word, you might write it down, it's a divine intelligence that God wanted to have. He wanted to have intimacy. He wanted to have a divine intelligence that we operate where the curse system stopped. They said we can't go no farther. We know that we are, Psalm 5:12 says we're surrounded with a shield of favor. So I have the shield of favor. Then I have the shield, the devil shooting stuff at me, but then I have the shield of faith to quench all the fire. You hear me? So I got two shields on. I got a shield that take me where I want to go. And I got another shield stop everybody who's trying to stop me. I wish y'all would let me peek. And when things not going right, you remind yourself, I'm surrounded with a shield of favor. Now, Romans 4. I'll take you to the 20th verse, but I got to take you somewhere else first because I think it's so important. The 13th verse. The 13th verse. Let me give you this while you're holding hold that. We're talking about stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life. The ingredients of God's promise is his word, truth, grace, love, faith, possibility, persuasion, and performance. The ingredients of God's promises is his word, truth, grace. Somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Grace, love, faith. I noticed your last three. Possibilities, persuasion, and performance. Now, I haven't got to my first point yet, but because y'all keep cutting me off. Look at verse 13. I haven't. I'm telling you the truth. Point number one, I don't have it. I haven't got to it yet. Verse 13 now. Romans 4. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through some type of rule, regulation, don't do this, don't do that, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, here's what righteousness means. I want you to write righteous, being righteous means. Righteous means I own it. I own this. Righteousness is synonymous with ownership. When the Bible says that we've been made the righteousness of God, we've been made owners to manage for him. Even though we know it's his, but we are owners too. We part of his ownership because he wants us to regulate things for him on earth. For the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham, in verse 13, or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. Now, righteousness of faith ought to make a difference to you now. Huh? That means I have a right to everything this book says. And nobody can stop me. But me. And me not stupid. I ain't planning on stopping myself. Oh, you hear me? Talk to me now. Y'all better talk to me up in here. I receive, son. I receive. You better talk to me up in here. That's a $2,500 check right there. I let you talk all the time. You come back and let me talk. Thought I'd make y'all laugh. They do that all the time. Them boys do that all the time. And girls. All right, now, let me see if I can go a little further. Look at the 16th verse of Romans. I want to get this for a foundation. Therefore, it is of faith that it might be by grace. Are you with me? Yes. To the end, the promise might be sure to what? All the seed, not to that only which is of the law. Not just to the Jew. Because Leroy would be a Gentile. But I mean the family. So the Lord opened it up for everybody. Faith has no respect of person. All right? Not that only watch of the law, but to also watch is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now, go, when we talk about this partnership, the 20th verse. Because that second word is very important. Because any dilemma you in, that's where you've been. You're staggering. You're staggering. Because this book do not stagger. That's what Isaiah 55:11 was telling you. See. So any staggering factors you have in your life, watch what I'm saying now. It's you, not your partner. It's you, not your partner. You know what I'm saying? It's you, not God. The old folks used to say, you need to go back for another dip. Say, why God ain't come through? God said, listen, I've been through. See, when God opened the Red Sea for the children of Israel, he was already on the other side. God didn't need the Red Sea open to go over the other side. He was already on the other side. He on our present. He opened it for them. So he staggered not, verse 20, at the promise of God through unbelief. Now, you know, he was 100-something years old, his wife 100-something years old, and you know, babies are gone, right? 100-something years old? Huh? Yes, sir. He had his promise. He ain't look at her body, he ain't look at himself. He looked at the promise of God. Y'all quit looking at all the other mess. Look at what God said. What I say, tell somebody next to you, look at what God said. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelievable, strong in faith, giving glory to God. Now, notice verse 21. We got to go over that verse over and over again. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. One more time. Read it. So number one, after 44 minutes, I must not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. I must not, no matter what I'm going through, no matter what I'm dealing with, no matter what time it looks like it is, no matter what the weather is, no matter what my body's saying, no matter what my finances saying, no matter what my job's saying, no matter what nobody else saying, I must not stagger at the promises of God through unbelief. Amen. That's that 20th verse, Romans 4:20. Secondly, class, developing strong faith in the promises of God gives glory to God. Giving him the privilege, I'll go over it again, giving him the privilege to bring his promise to pass in your life as a witness to his word that he is a good God.
Amen.
I'm going to give you that again because I want you to have that. I want you to walk out that our chair with that on your chest.
Yes.
Listen, listen to me, listen to me. Developing strong faith, ooh, I want to holler, in the promises of God gives glory to God. And here's what the Spirit of God is telling me right now. The promises of God are not just about you. They represent God. And so when you let God use you, God said, I'm going to get her again because she know how to yield. And listen to this. She know how to make me look good. She know how to let my greatness come through. She know how to walk in my grace. She enabled people to see my goodness through what I'm doing in her life. I'm going to talk about y'all later, boys. Other words, listen, don't miss it. God said, I'm looking for someone tonight to make me look good. To let me take their life and dress it with grace and dress it with mercy. Dress it with my favor. That it be a testimony that I am a good God. And that my glory can be worn as a garment. My glory can be worn as a garment. I want men and women, sinners, and traditional people to see my goodness flourishing in your life. I want you to testify without talking. I want you to shake somebody up just by how you live. Advertisement did not come from the internet. Advertisement came from the Bible. That's why you see he talk about Abraham, he talk about what Job had, he talk about what Solomon had. That's advertisement.
Yeah.
That I'm a good God.
Yeah.
I was talking to a man in my neighborhood and looked like I wasn't getting away with him. I said, I stay over in the house right away. He said, what you said? I said, the other house around the corner, that's where I live at.
Yeah.
His whole attitude changed. He was listening.
Yes, sir.
You see what I'm saying? That's all God doing. I mean, I'm not gonna stay here forever. You're not gonna be here forever. He's just advertising who he is. Sit down. I want you to write a couple more notes down. I gotta get a second one again. Developing strong faith. In the promise of God, give glory to God. Everybody say, give glory to God.
Give glory to God.
Say it again.
Give glory to God.
Say, my life
is designed
by God
to give
glory
to God.
Here's how you give him glory. Giving him the privilege to bring his promises to pass in your life. As a witness to his word, that he's a good God. You're still in verse 20. You look at Romans 4:20, you see it. Learning how to be fully persuaded of the promises of God when the system is testing you. And find out that you're programmed not to fail. You're programmed, or you're designed by God. That's why you are spirit. You have a soul, and you live in a body. Your dimensions are too strong for this system. The kingdom of darkness cannot function in your life unless you give it permission. It functioned by deception, but you have discernment. So he might get by for a while. But when your discernment kick in, somebody about to get kicked. Because the Bible says you have overcome them little children. Because what? When you discern that greater one in you at any given moment, everything else is less. You ready for a word?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
God says, I'm always trying to get to you my best.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, y'all didn't hear that over there? I'm always trying to get to you my best. I heard that in the spirit just now. I'm always. And I can do it. If you know how to cooperate with me.
Yes.
And that's why we're here.
Yes.
That's why. That changed your life forever right there. That's why you're here.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. Yes, sir.
God can get the best of me if I know how to cooperate with him.
Yes.
And I'm learning how to cooperate with him.
Yes.
Ask the person next to you, are you? You ask your wife that, she'll roll her eyes at you. You ought to know I'm in there. I received some. It's $500 right there. Whew, what time is it, man? Learning how to be fully persuaded of the promises of God. Now, we're talking about stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life, right?
Yes.
Learning how to be fully, notice you have to learn this.
Yes.
Learning how to be fully, you can't learn it everywhere.
No.
Learning how to be fully persuaded of the promises of God when this system is testing you and trying to tell you, that let them know that you're not programmed to fail. That 21st verse. Notice that your faith produces a partnership with God. What? That permit him to perform for you.
Amen.
I thought I was reading this wrong, man.
Yes,
the Lord told me, listen to this. This is almost, you see, some people get scared when you say something like this. But it's in the verse. Verse 21. Go back to verse 21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised. Me, God will perform for me?
Yes.
If I know how to yield. And if I know how to let him. He'll perform it. Is that in the book? If I become persuaded And if my partnership kick in right, my faith and grace and favor, my faith and favor holding hand. And favor telling faith what you don't get, I'm going to get. My faith telling favor what you don't get, I'm going to get. I got to go there, right? Now, how to use this in your personal affairs? Remind yourself, if you got to use your own hand, faith, favor, come together. When baby, listen to me, when faith and favor, faith and grace, that's how you got born again. That's how you partook of the divine nature. So everything else is under that. No, you didn't get it. If you did the highest thing through faith and favor, if I got born again through faith and favor, and I still have the faith, and I still have the favor available to me in my life for any other life situation, it's on, baby. So I use my hand just to remind you tomorrow. Somebody might act up. Something might tell you you're not going to make it. I want you just to raise one hand and say, that's faith. Other hand say, that's favor, baby. You can't stop me. You don't know I got a secret on the inside of me. I was at Bible class last night, and I heard that faith and favor can take me anywhere I need to go. I'm hearing something, but I don't know if you can take it. I'm hearing something. The Spirit of God. Faith and favor are your wings. For you to fly above life situations. Faith and favor turns you into God's character. When you're operating in faith and favor, the enemy don't see you. You see him who rose on the third day. And no power could stop it. You leave here tonight flying on the wings of faith and favor. Above the enemy. He don't have faith. He don't have God's favor. So therefore, the kingdom of darkness cannot stop you because you live in the kingdom of light. You've been delivered from his power. I don't know about you, but sometime when I'm by myself and I want to activate power. This revelation here would be a great asset to me. I could be sitting on my rocker on the front porch and praying for some of you all about some things, or praying about a family, of course, something I need to do. And I'll just stretch out on them wings. Just fly where I want to fly. See what I'm saying? See. The Bible says a lot of things that we don't have because we didn't mix it with faith. Tonight, the Lord give us a mixture, the mixture. Faith and grace is the mixture. And faith and favor. Grace is favor. I got the favor of God on me. Can I talk with you? Sometimes you got to tell your crazy body. Because they go to living in the flesh. You didn't get it. That's three F's. No, now it's four. Because I hear failure. Faith. Favor. Flesh. Failure. See, you can't fail in faith. You can't fail in favor. So you fail in flesh. And the only way Satan can bring a child of God into the flesh is it not operating in faith. So he'll show you a circumstance. He'll show you a situation. Or he'll hit you with a pain. Or he'll get a diagnosis that you let the diagnosis become greater than your God. The diagnosis is to let you know you got something to work on. Not to live by, or not to die by. Nobody and nothing must have the last word in your life. You're designed to live an impossible life. Now, in a measure of this sort, you listen by internet also. The only way your life has not changed tonight is you're not mixing with faith what you heard. Not just another outline, not just another Wednesday night. It's a time for growth. And to deal with, first thing you deal with, before you try to deal with somebody else, deal with what you're dealing with. Get your doggone life straight. Get Satan off your back. Stop him from lying to you. You understand?
Yes, sir.
Stop going after stuff. Go after God. Yes, the stuff will follow you. Yes. Remember we said these signs should follow you?
Yes.
Go do what I told you to do, and you come back home, you're going to find a lot of stuff that wasn't at the house where you left. It came while you were gone. Seek ye first. Kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He that comes to God must believe that He is. First, that He is. And He's a rewarder, not just to anybody. Those that diligently seek Him. It's so easy. It's so clear, you know, if you handle it on your wing. If you handle it on your wing.
Yes.
I don't hear nothing.
Yes.
What wing? We'll take up there. Stepping into the fulfillment of the promises of God in my life. So now all y'all start to step into those promises. Okay? Stop stepping into the favor. All right, Usher, y'all move fast. Stepping into the favor of God in your life.